Let us just bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Lord, we thank thee for thy presence with us, and we do ask that thou wilt be pleased to accept these our gifts and sanctify them, sanctify the hearts and lives of the givers. We thank thee again for thy great and amazing gift to us. Oh, may we give all that we have and are to thee. Accept these our gifts. And now as we come to thy word, we pray that thou wilt help us. Grant us humble hearts, humble minds. Grant us true and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, with God's help, I want to turn your thoughts this morning to that scripture that we have read from St. Mark's Gospel and chapter 10. And the text there that I have chosen from that portion is verse 51, where we read, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." These words recorded for us here describe the wonderful miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ in the healing and restoring of sight to blind Bartimaeus. We live in a day when men in their worldly wisdom seek to de-supernaturalize Christianity and to destroy the Word of God. In a previous age, men tried to destroy the Bible by burning it, but they fail. And so will all who set themselves against this book. In their wisdom, many of our teachers and scholars of present day intellectuals seek to persuade us that the miracles and supernatural works of the Lord Jesus Christ can be accounted for by natural phenomena, or if not, then to be dismissed. Well, they do not stop short at disbelieving in the miracles, for it is inevitable that they go on to rob Christ of his glory and of his divinity and of his sovereign and supernatural powers. These professors of religion destroy all faith in the scriptures as the divinely inspired and inerrant word of God, reducing the Bible to a merely human composition, and often trying to point out many discrepancies and mistakes. Well, most solemn and serious warnings are given to such unbelief. Well, dear friends, I am persuaded of better things of you, and that you do believe in the divinely inspired and inerrant Word of God, and that you do believe in the sovereign power of Christ to do that which is supernatural and to perform miraculous works above the power of men to fully comprehend and to explain. We believe unreservedly that Christ, as the Son of God, perform the miracles as recorded for us in the gospel. The restoring of sight to blind Bartimaeus was one of the Lord Jesus Christ's most notable miracles. Many wonderful procedures are carried out in the field of ophthalmic science today, but this was something unique and miraculous which Christ did for Bartimaeus, something which only Christ could have done. All three of the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, refer to this miracle. And in this respect, we ought to briefly mention the two difficulties and differences that appear in their recording of this miracle. Matthew mentions two blind men. Mark and Luke mention only one. And it is Mark who tells us that his name was Bartimaeus. Well, I don't believe that there is any real difficulty here. There most probably were two blind men. It is just that Mark and Luke refer to the notorious beggar Bartimaeus. And it is Mark who tells us there that he was son of Timaeus, who sat by the highway side begging. Secondly, there is a difference in the account by Matthew and Mark, who say that the miracle occurred as the Lord was leaving Jericho, and Luke, who records that it occurred on entering Jericho. Well, again, I believe that historians sometimes vary in the circumstances and the order of events. The main facts of the narrative are observed in all three accounts. Such variations of circumstances and order, where there is no real contradiction, show the honesty of the writers, and that they did not conspire together, and that there was no collusion on their part. And minor differences, as we have here, only adds strength to the truthfulness and reliability of their testimony. Well, now, the miracle is full of deep instruction, and especially in the area of spiritual matters and in the salvation of our souls. Let us see what we can learn. And my points are very plain and simple. Firstly, blindness, whether from birth or caused by accident, or as a medical condition that occurs as we get older, is a very sad affliction indeed. Blindness is the cause of much sorrow and sadness, especially to those who have to bear it. I had a dear friend for many years, and he used to say to me that he could put up with almost any affliction, dreaded blindness. We are certainly grateful, aren't we, that in many cases, through the wonders of modern ophthalmological science, much can be done to help restore sight, particularly to those who suffer cataracts. I remember having a very interesting conversation down there with a dear friend, Anna, who's a very gifted surgeon, and their work in India. Well, sad as physical blindness is, what is much worse by far is spiritual blindness. Through our first parents' disobedience and sin and fall, all are born spiritually blind and must forever remain in this state and condition apart from the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual blindness causes us to be blind to the spiritual realm. That is why the vast majority of people are only concerned with the things of this life, material gain and prosperity. Talk to them about another realm, and they do not recognize it. Blind to the true and the living God. That is why so many people have such disregard for God, why this place isn't full with people wanting to seek God and worship Him. Blind to the great matters of the soul. In fact, many people would deny that they have got a soul. Blind to sin and lostness and need. Blind to Christ as the only Savior from sin. Blind to the eternal state and will to come. I was talking to a person recently about these things, and, oh no, nothing of that. Life will just fizzle out like a candle being snuffed out at the end. Nothing, no more. Blind. Can there be any wonder then, dear friends, that the world is in such a sad and sorry state of sin and darkness when the majority of men and women are in this condition of spiritual blindness? All men are blinded by sin and love darkness rather than light. Our only hope is to call on Jesus to open our eyes and to remove our darkness. If the light that be in us is darkness, oh, how great is our darkness. Darkness cannot see light. It is only light that can see darkness. And this is the reason why only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ and who have had their eyes open can see the terrible and sad state of those who are still in blindness and darkness. A short time ago in our reading, my dear sister and myself, it was in the Epistle of Jude, and those words there in verse 13, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. What a state. John Welsh, a Scottish Covenanter known for his prayer life and defence of the Scriptures, rejected state interference in church matters. His belief landed him in a notorious castle of blackness near Falkirk. Banished in total darkness, here led many to despair for Welsh. But he declared, it is better to know the darkness of blackness than to experience the blackness of darkness. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful thing when our eyes have been opened, and that we shall never know such a state of condition of utter blackness and darkness. Idra D. Sankey put it, "All souls in darkness groping and longing for the light, believe ye that the Saviour can give the blind their sight? Oh, look to Jesus only, with him is love and might. Believe that he is able to lead thee into light." If we are ever to see spiritually and eternal realities, it will be by the grace of God. God is the only fountain of true light, and those in darkness should seek him. Natural ability and human intellect will not avail or help in this respect. This is the reason why we should not be surprised that the natural man, no matter how gifted and intellectually endowed, is nevertheless ignorant of the things of God. He is blind and cannot see. Of course, men do not like to hear this, and even less to admit to it, but it is certainly true. Only God can help. Only God can open blind eyes and make us see. What a wonderful word we have there in the Old Testament, a book of Isaiah. What a great and mighty word it is by the prophet when he says that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. It is that we so desperately need, isn't it, dear friends? It is for God's light to shine upon us. Can I ask you this morning, what is your state? What is your spiritual condition? Can you say with the blind man of John chapter 9 and verse 25, "One thing I know"? There were many things maybe that he didn't know, but "one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Can you say with William Tidd Matson, whose hymn we are going to sing, God willing, at the close of this service, "Lord, I was blind, I could not see in thy marred visage any grace, but now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me." Dear friends, I cannot cure you of spiritual blindness, but I know a place where you can be cured. I know a fountain where sins are washed away. I know a place where night is turned to day. Burdens are lifted, blind eyes made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. Well, now, secondly, what a great example we have here of a true and sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see there in verse 52 that the Lord Jesus Christ says to Bartimaeus, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." This is truly remarkable, and our Lord draws special attention to it. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It is remarkable that it is found in Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And dear friends, it shows to us that truly faith is the gift of God. It is not something that is possessed by the privileged few. It is not the sole property of those who study religion or attend a theological college or who have become ministers of religion and hold positions of high office in the church. Indeed, as we read in the Gospels, many such at that time in our own Lord's day, they didn't have any faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and continued in spiritual darkness in spite of all their learning in church matters and affairs. And sadly, this is still the case with many today, many in our land, in the church, attending church services, a lifetime in the church, but in darkness and lost. Equally, saving faith is not the possession of the wealthy or educated only. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. It is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, Bartimaeus had it. God had given him faith, and he exercised it to the full. He had never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He had never seen the miracles which Jesus had performed. But he fully believed that Jesus would hear his cry and listen, and was willing, he was able to deliver him from his darkness. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And dear friends, as we see here, saving faith acknowledges Jesus, who he is, and that his great office is to dispense mercy and pardon and forgiveness and salvation. Lord, is the way that Bartimaeus addresses our Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, this is the first step to becoming a Christian. And this is the daily step in continuing to be a Christian. It is to call upon the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How splendidly Charles Wesley puts it in the four great questions in his fine hymn, "Depth of mercy, can there be? Mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare?" Oh, dear friends, do we have this faith that Bartimaeus had? It is the most vital question. And we should not rest until we can give a satisfactory answer to it. By faith, Bartimaeus placed all his trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be enabled to do likewise, for without this we shall perish. But let us be assured that they who apply themselves to the Lord Jesus in this way will receive sight. Their eyes will be opened, and they will see clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only and all-sufficient Saviour for sinners. Then again, in these words, we learn the meaning of importunity. We learn what it means to be focused and determined and to persevere in the face of difficulties. Look there at verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And again in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We need to keep going on until the goal and objective is realized. Satan will seek to put obstacles in our way. People will laugh at us and ridicule us. They will say that we are going too far. I remember many years ago when I became a Christian and I went to the church that I was going to, and there was an elderly person in that church that said the very same thing to me. You're going too far. Oh, yes, there will be difficulties, plenty. Satan will see to it. Isn't that what Christian in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress encountered from his wife and family and relations when he became disturbed about his soul? They would have him desist from this madness. Oh, friends, if we really know our need and long to be cured, then like Bartimaeus, we will not be put off, but will cry out the more. We shall feel that our eternal all depends on being heard. It is the great issue and matter of our soul's relationship to God. And the whole of time and eternity depend upon it. Oh, see how Bartimaeus cries out. This man is serious. He means business. He is not going to be put off. He is not going to let a few hindrances get in the way of his coming to Jesus. His object is Christ, and his faith closes with Christ. His faith is centered and focused on Christ and will not stop short of Christ. I recall the old Puritan's words when he said, make sure that your pipe, and he's not referring to a pipe that we men smoke, but a pipe that is a channel for water. Make sure that your pipe is sufficiently long as to reach to Christ, and from Christ to your soul. It will be then that all of Christ's blessings will flow from him to your soul. We learn again what a gracious Savior Christ is, and never do we see this more fully and wonderfully shown than in his great work of seeking and saving lost sinners. In verse 49 we read, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, friends, what have we to commend ourselves to him? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing but our wretchedness and sinfulness. And yet, in spite of this, he seeks out sinners. He seeks out publicans to be his friends. He seeks to be our friend and Savior. Oh, as one has put it, this is indeed darkness to my mind, to my intellect. How can I understand something like that? But it is sunshine to my heart. We read that he must needs go through Jericho. Why? Can there be any other reason? Can there be any other explanation that it was his sovereign purpose to bring salvation to Bartimaeus, and in the following chapter in Luke's account, to Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus? Truly this day is a day of salvation come to this house, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus answered and said unto Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And Bartimaeus' response, that I might receive my sight. Oh, friends, he is able to do this, for he is the Son of God. There is no limit to his power. In my studies in mathematics and calculus, we used to put limits on our equations. You cannot put any limit on God's power. It is infinite. It is eternal. He is able. He is sufficient. Here is the question. Is he willing? Oh, dear friends, what would you have him to do for you? What is your greatest need? I know what my greatest need is. It is my heart. It is my sin. Oh, surely it is that we might be delivered from our sin. And that our souls might be saved. Believe ye that he is able to do this? Oh, yes, he is able. Is he willing? Yes, 1,000 times more willing than we are. What would you have him to do? Oh, listen to the lovely words expressed one by one way back in 700 and between 725 and 794. Saint Stephen, if I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. These words, they reflect his own words, don't they? When he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And now we learn also from these words what should be the outcome of such amazing love of the Saviour shown to sinners. In verse 49, and immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We see here in the case of Bartimaeus a real example of the power and influence of Christ in the life which has been healed and restored. What a response of gratitude and of love and devotion is found in Bartimaeus for what Christ has done for him. It seems that nothing is too much for Bartimaeus to give in return. He will give his life in glad and willing service for the one who has restored him everything. And dear friends, this ever ought to be the case. As with Bartimaeus, Christ's love for us in our hopeless state and condition should bring us to this very position. His listening to our cry and bringing deliverance and salvation puts us under an obligation to him. An obligation that we can never fully discharge so long as we live. In the words of Isaac, what's love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. To those whose eyes have been opened by Jesus, they will long to follow him always and wherever he leads. And will follow none else but him. As he himself says, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. He who gives sight to the blind cannot ever lead us astray. He that brings sight and light to our souls at the beginning of our faith will enlighten our goings throughout our pilgrimage and even down through the dark valley of the shadow of death. Been reading recently a delightful piece by a shepherdess in the north of Yorkshire, and how sometimes the sheep are afflicted by blindness in the snow. And in those dangerous conditions, they can so easily become lost and die, fall into ravines or torrents of water and perish. The urgent work of the shepherd to seek them out and bring them down, give them medicine. And often, away from the snow, their eyesight will be restored. What a lovely picture then of the Lord, who has saved us from our blindness, and that he will lead us, dear friends, in the paths of righteousness, never leading our souls astray. The world is full of voices, come this way, do this, do that, follow this. A lot of those ways end in failure and despair. But the voice of the Savior will never lead you astray or into darkness. One last word. Friends, let us never presume on God's grace and mercy. Let us never procrastinate or put off the opportunities which God provides for us to come to him. Jesus was passing through Jericho. This was the first and the last time that he came to Jericho. He did not come again. This was Bartimaeus's opportunity, and he did not miss it. The scriptures are full of the sovereignty of God. Grace and salvation are the sovereign work of God. And I am sure that it was the sovereign purpose of God for Jesus to pass through Jericho in order to meet Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. But dear friends, equally the scriptures are emphatic in emphasizing our personal responsibility and accountability. Bartimaeus needed to realize and seize his opportunity. God equally in his providence and mercy and grace provides us with opportunities to come to him. You may think that you're here this morning by chance because you've done it all the previous Sundays in the year. Never are we here by chance? And here is God's opportunity. Here is your opportunity. God is seeking you, seeking sinners. The Lord seeks sinners still. But dear friends, we need to seek the Lord. We need to cry for mercy and help. We need to come. We need to repent. If thou shalt seek the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul, then thou shalt most surely find him. Faith is the gift of God, but we need to exercise it. The Lord Jesus Christ is still the same as when he passed through Jericho. He has not changed. Where there is a Bartimaeus and the cry for mercy and help, he will gladly stop and hear and visit that soul with salvation. May the Lord help us all to come unto him, even now. How do we come? You need to go home and spend a week trying to make yourself better. It will never work. You come just as you are. There is no other way. But what a mighty Savior we have, who will receive us and abundantly pardon. Amen.